നമസ്കാരം ജിം വർഗീസ്, SBS റേഡിയോ മലയാളത്തിലേക്ക് സ്വാഗതം.
നമസ്കാരം
ജിം. ദ വിക്ടോറിയൻ ഗവൺമെന്റ് ഇസ് ഇൻ ദ പ്ലാൻ ഓഫ് ഡബ്ലിംഗ് ഇറ്റ്സ് എക്സ്പോർട്ട് ടു ഇന്ത്യ ടു ഓൾമോസ്റ്റ് $1 billion ഇൻ ദ നെക്സ്റ്റ് 10 years. According to the DFACT Stars data, Victoria's two-way goods trade with India was $1.5 billion in 2015-16. So now that the state has decided to double the export, can you please mention which will be the main resources to be used for this export?
I think that you could look at across a range of industries. One is international education, right? In terms of Melbourne capitalizing as the preferred destination, as I mentioned, for Indian students. But also the Modi government's recent response on skills and training and job creation provides new opportunities for Victoria's vet sector to connect in-market education services and on the international market. Then you also have food and fibre. And with, you know, 60 smart cities in India coming on and the increasing rate of urbanisation and high income levels, we're getting new levels of consumer preference and consumer consumption patterns in India. So I think this is an area where Victoria's agri-food business can put significant opportunities to meet India's growing demand. For example, high-value dairy, premium foods, wine products, and also unprocessed projects such as pulses, nuts and grains. So that's your second area. Your third area is infrastructure and professional services. And because of the rapid upgrades to India's core infrastructure over the next decade, there'll be a major demand across all construction, design and urban planning. And Victoria's expert skills in building high-quality innovation infrastructure is going to be very important here in terms of exporting smart, sustainable urban design solutions to India. And then some of the other areas I would see is medical technology, pharmaceuticals, healthcare, and clean technologies. And then the last sort of area I'd see is digital technology. Rapid digitalization across public and private sector has resulted in one of the fastest uptakes of internet and smartphone technology. And this, of course, provides a great opportunity for Melbourne tech businesses and startups to assist India's digital transformation.
Okay. Jim, as the National Vice Chairman of Australia-India Business Council, how do you think this new strategy is going to strengthen the relationship between Victoria and India, or both the countries?
I think this new strategy will strengthen the relationship in a number of ways. I think it capitalizes on the very competent Indian diaspora in Victoria. It displays a very good understanding of the Victoria industry sectors and its potential with India. And it's the strategy also puts the government in a position where it acts as an excellent facilitator to drive business-to-business connections, which is what we're interested in. And I also commend the Australia-India Institute for the research work that backed up the strategy as well.
The Premier, while unveiling the Victoria's India strategy, he said that the growing export can create more local jobs for the Victorians. Could you please brief on how or mainly in which sectors can we expect the job growth?
Well, I think the job growth can be expected. If you look at food and manufacturing, if we're going to move from $500 million to $1 billion, which is in the plan, then that's going to create whole number of jobs in that sector. And if we look at increasing the number of Indian postgraduate research students by 25%, that is also going to help us on the higher education job front. And if we double the number of Victorian businesses engaged in India from 150 to 300, that's also going to generate jobs from here, but also in India. And if we look at tripling the expenditure by Indian visitors to Victoria from to $885 million, that's going to generate a lot of jobs in that services industry for these visitors coming in. So I would say when you bring in areas like health, sport, tourism and education, combined with India's appetite to innovate and grow, this is where we'll get our jobs. And I think it's looking really good. And I note that in Victoria's strategy, they had more than 200 partners, including senior representatives from community organisations, business and government and academic, when they were preparing the strategy. I think we're looking at a very healthy job front here as Victoria works closely with the AIBC, the Australia-India Institute and the Indian diaspora. so that we can make the Victorians' bond with India even stronger.
Okay. So when you speak about the job, can we expect more permanent jobs rather than the casual jobs?
Well, I think you asked a broader question, which, as you know, is a big issue in Australia. What is the extent of casualism and contracts as opposed to permanent jobs? And I think that would reflect the broader economic pattern. There is a strong push from the union movement to have permanent jobs. So where that is successful, that would be reflected in the jobs created here. Otherwise, you'd almost, whatever it is, you're going to have jobs. The profile of that will depend on our nation's ability to be able to have a good mix of permanent, temporary and contract jobs.
All right. Will this be beneficial to the small-scale businesses in Victoria or the growing entrepreneurs in any way?
I think it will, because we're talking about encouraging entrepreneurship, innovation, the opportunities that are in India. And I think that's the opportunity for startup businesses, companies that look at different areas in those sectors that I outlined. I think it's a wonderful opportunity to hit all those areas, startup companies, businesses, medium-sized businesses, large businesses. I believe India, the trade and investment in India will continue to grow. And that growth is very much also in Victoria's and Australia's national interest.
All right. And as we mentioned earlier, there has also been plans in the education sector with a plan of increasing the number of postgraduate research students by 2027 and by providing more opportunities for school communities to build personal connections with India. So can you please brief on this?
Yeah, well, I think this is an area where the Australian India Institute has done some very good work on. They run the current scheme of internships, which allow students that have either about to complete a degree or complete a degree to do an internship either in Victoria or India. And the Australian India Institute has a program of new generation network of postgraduate students looking specifically at different domains of research between Australia and India. But when you leave those initiatives aside, the market to increased Indian postgraduate students appears to be very healthy. So I think setting a target of increasing by 25% is quite realistic. And that would benefit all universities in Victoria, I should say.
Among these strategies include a focus on South Indian states in enhancing trade and investment. What are the strategies in the pipeline and which are the main Indian states which are being focused, and is there any plans with Kerala?
Well, I think, you know, you've got Hyderabad, Bangalore, and you've got very good Victorian presence in Bangalore, for example, and across India, connecting those dots in southern states. I think Kerala actually is doing quite well in promoting its global attraction. So I would see in Kerala, for example, you've already got examples of health and education, but also energy. And the one area that I think Kerala could exploit more is intellectual capital and the network that Keralans have or Malayalis have across the world. My recommendation to the government of Kerala is to step up its Australian engagement, and I think they'll find there's some very good win-win trade and investment there.
Can you disclose which are the sectors mainly focused on?
Well, the sectors I would say would be health, education, and areas like renewable energy and even urbanization. Aged care sector is another one. Technology is another one. So I think when you look through what Kerala has to offer, it could step up its profile with Victoria and get Kerala in there as a very intelligent exporter and attractor of trade and investment.
Okay, so we can expect something in Kerala too.
Yeah, absolutely. And this is where the Kerala diaspora can play an important role in Victoria by working and making representations to the Victorian government or with the IBC to better connect the trade and investment opportunities between Kerala and Victoria.
All right. We know there are Order of Australia medal winners and many other experts in water transport industry.
Yes, correct.
Who are willing to provide their expertise to India in the country's growth. Do you think their expertise can be used for implementing new strategies?
Yes, I would be looking at the strategy as a platform for engagement, a platform for innovation, a platform for new connections. So I think in many ways this really requires some marketing by the Kerala diaspora to say we have these expertise in India. How about accessing this and using their own connectivity with the Kerala government to look at opening some new avenues within those sectors that I've outlined? Because the Victorian government doesn't know some of those expertise that lie within the Kerala diaspora, be it in water or medicine or health or education. They should talk to the Australian India Business Council, and if they've got ideas that can generate better business-to-business connections, we'd be quite happy to listen to them and maybe work with the Indian High Commission here to listen to those ideas and also to the Australian High Commission as well.
All right. And before winding up, let me put in one more question, Mr. Jim. Now that Daniel Andrews has visited India last week after unveiling the strategy here in Melbourne, can you give an assurance that an agreement has been made with India in relation to these strategies?
I'm certainly aware that they have reached absolute agreement in relation to the Victoria-India strategy. Great step forward in the relationship between Victoria and India.
Absolutely. And thank you so much for your time, Mr. Jim.
My pleasure. And I hope that your listeners will become an active part of the Victoria-India engagement and bring Kerala on the map there.